Welcome back, America. We've got so much more to talk about, and we need you to chime in. Hashtag Bill Martinez Live. Let us know your thoughts, and get ready to put on your seatbelts and your crash helmets, because we are going to talk and get in depth about this immigration issue. And we're talking with the author of the book Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work. Bruce Thatcher is with us. He's the founder of History Speaks Today, a project dedicated to sharing great lessons learned from accomplishments and failures of those in our past to help us avoid making the same mistakes again and again. And wouldn't that be nice if we only listened to the lessons of history, Bruce, huh?
Boy, would it ever. good to hear the summary on it, Bill, and good to be with you.
Well, always good to have you on. Boy, this situation that we have in our southern border, you know, you and I have talked many times on this show about this, so this is no surprise. You know, some people are scratching their heads and saying, how can this president allow this to happen? You know, this is so lose-lose on so many levels. How do you ferret this out, Bruce?
Well, you know, an earlier guest, you had Selena, laid out what's apparently going on in Guatemala and Honduras and El Salvador that's causing these people to flood here. Mm-hmm. Some people have suggested conspiracies that it's being deliberately promoted from here. And I don't know about that, but there are some realities about the situation that we need to consider if we're going to do anything about it. One is that they're coming, and the reason they're coming has very little to do with any accepted justifications for asylum claims. They're coming because they think they're going to be able to stay, and they think, I believe, their relatives will then be allowed to join them, which means we're talking about a whole lot more people than just the tens or hundreds of thousands of kids and minors that are coming across in what I call a migrant minors problem.
Right.
Another reality is that, and I don't hear quite that much about it, is that all of these people, these kids, have to first cross Mexico's southern border. Mm-hmm. And Mexico's pretty picky about their borders. They have to cross Mexico's southern border, and they have to transverse 1,500 miles across Mexico before they get to our southern border.
Right.
And that's a reality. We can't stop them with fencing or something like that. We cannot deal with that quantity of people, but there are some things that I think we can and should be doing.
Well, from what I understand, Bruce, and I mentioned this with the discussion with Selena, is that they're running commercials in Central America, telling people that here's your chance, you know, the gate is open, go, and you're going to be okay and taken care of. And there they are. I mean, we can only imagine the condition that they're in. If you and I were on the wrong side of the border, we would do everything we could for our families, even a 1,500-mile trek, and knowing that along the way we're going to have to navigate, you know, what has turned into some slavery, sexual abuse. You got coyotes charging, I understand, as much as $12,000 a head. If you want to get across the Rio Grande, we'll get you across there. Give me $100. We'll take you across and get you on the other side. We've seen video of that taking place. This is such a mess. And then right now you've got Rupert Murdoch saying, oh, we need to urgently fix immigration. The First Lady is chiming in. I mean, come on. I mean, they're already here, and this should have been done long ago. By inaction, we have this kind of situation now, and we're not having a chance to, to be proactive about it. Now we're in a reactive stage to manage. I've heard numbers as much as 1,000 a day coming across the border.
And no matter what we do, we're going to look bad. I mean, people have got to set aside the idea that, we got to be careful to not look bad in this situation, because we have now gotten to the point where anything we do to prevent or curtail this kind of traffic is going to make us look bad, or we're going to be made to look bad. A question that I have, as you were describing what's going on, and you talk about the commercials being run in Central America, my question is, and I'd like to see somebody get behind it, is who's paying for the commercials?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to know that, and we don't. That's just kind of a side
right,
comment.
Good question.
They're going
uh-huh.
on, and the people are coming here, and we need to do something about it. There's a couple of things that some of them are pretty draconian, but certainly one of the first things I think that we ought to do is that our disengaged president should be on the phone with President Nieto in Mexico and talking about what they're doing or what they can do cooperatively to interdict this traffic. There's some things that might include posting U.S. border agents inside Mexico to work with Mexican authorities. We do that with other countries, and catch these people, collect them in before they get to the border or as they're getting to the border, and then go ahead and pay to fly them back mm-hmm. to their home countries. The traffic will not stop as long as the people coming believe they can get in. They right. have to understand the message has to get forcefully across in those Central American countries that you're wrong, you can't get in, you can't right. stay.
Well, we got to stop them at the start of the 1,500-mile trek, not 1,000 miles, not 1,200 miles into it, because at that point, you know, again, you talk about the optics. I'm starting to see young kids with their faces up against a fence that has been slammed shut, and it's those, you know, very rich Americans that are depriving us of this opportunity. This is not good on so many levels, and people have to understand, you know, there's some diehard liberals that just say, hey, why can't we, you know, take on, you know, all these kids? We just, you know, we're a welcoming society. We should just welcome them in. Well, it would be one thing if it was just, you know, the kids, but here it is. We have a defective, broken immigration system, and now we're just going to, you know, add to the problem all the more, all for the sake of compassion. And compassion works both ways. You only have, you know, so much of a capacity, and we're already stretched. We've already stretched that capacity with what we have right now. If you just close the border and just say, hey, we're going to try and get this thing under control at this point, much less, you know, continuing to leave it open like a sieve and add to the problem.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think the problem has to be solved in terms of the perception of the people who are setting out on this long trek to the United States, by making them or getting them to understand that they cannot come here. Mm-hmm. It'd be nice if we could get Mexico to close their southern border to these people, but we need to somehow or other counter all that communication in the Central American countries, and maybe we should be buying our own commercials there and very forcefully communicating, you know, really flooding the market, as they say, with the information that it won't work. But in order to be convincing, we've got to prove that it won't work by enforcing our own laws.
Right.
And the people who come here illegally are going to have to not be allowed to stay here. They're going to have to be sent back.
Well, and the ironic thing is, if it was going the other way, as we know, if we were trying to, you know, flood the gates from the United States into Mexico, you know, they enforce their laws. And if you think not, you can talk to a Marine that's been incarcerated there
yeah.
for over 60 days.
That's
Ask
right.
him about how they enforce their laws. And he's just one. There are many stories in the Naked City, as they say, about this. So it's ironic that, you know, Mexico can teach us a lot about managing, you know, our national security and managing borders, can't we?
We can. But one of their laws they're not enforcing is the immigration or migration through their country of these people coming to the United States.
Right. Well, Bruce, you and I have talked about this before, and that is there's no incentive for Mexico to do that. And maybe they need to be incentivized in such a way so that they become partners with us to help us manage, you know, our borders. It's a two-sided proposition. Bruce Thatcher is with us, author of the book Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work. Bruce Thatcher writes, "Obsessing on illegal immigration until the border is secure lets everyone blame someone else for inaction. Now, let me give you, also he continues, granted, illegal immigration is a problem, but deeply flawed immigration policy is an even greater problem, and nobody is really addressing it. Few people seem to realize that illegal immigrants constitute just a small part of the perils inherent in the United States immigration practices. The root problem stems from our failure to follow the three principles for successful immigration policy. Now, note this. Okay, number one, first of all, he says our system needs a complete and drastic overhaul. In order to do this, we must, number one, design immigration to serve only a limited number of long-term national interests. Number two, institute immigration laws, regulations, and practices that serve those interests. Makes sense, doesn't it? And number three, I mean, we're not talking 2,700 pages Obamacare type policy here. This is just real simple. One, two, three. The third one, effectively assimilate immigrants into society as rapidly as possible. In America, assimilation proceeds most effectively with educated immigrants who are fluent in English and who are in the country legally and intend to stay. Bruce, that's it. I mean, class closed. I mean, let's go out and do it, right?
I think so. Why not? Why not? We don't. As you say, we don't need a 1,000-page immigration reform law to do all that.
Mm-hmm.
It can be done much more simply than that. All of the proposals, well, maybe not all of them, but all of the high-press proposals for immigration reform are mostly focused on political advantage of somebody or another.
Exactly.
None of them is preceded with a statement about what national interests are we trying to support with immigration.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the problem, and you and I have discussed this before, when it's, you know, when the objective is, hey, let's bring in a bunch of Democratic voters. I mean, right there, you know, wrong answer. You know, come on.
Yeah.
We're smarter than this. You know, we're allowing this system to work us, and look what we've got now. We've got an absolute mess because it's been run where you've got politics trumping policy. And, you know, the big question that many have when I discuss this with other people is saying, why aren't we enforcing the laws that we have on the books right now, Bruce?
And we're not enforcing them because, first, some of them are conflicting. If you enforce some of them, then you're going against the spirit of some others. But that's the smaller part of the problem. The big part of the problem is that enforcing the laws means somebody's going to be unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
Either some businesses who are hiring illegals at below market wages are going to be unhappy because they're going to have to raise their wage rates, Or some politicians in some areas are going to be unhappy because they think that their constituency will vote against them. Somebody's going to be unhappy if you enforce the laws, and the press is going to make the absolute most out. You mentioned the picture, the visuals of children looking through fences.
Right.
I mean, the press loves that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you enforce the laws, you're going to have all kinds of visuals of people being picked up, deported, and this kind of thing. That's why we don't do it, because it's tough, and I'm really unhappy to say it, but I think most of our politicians don't like to be put in tough positions.
Right. But the fact of the matter is we're making it worse, because if you follow these rules that you've set out here, the very reasonable practical rules, It presents a win-win scenario. The immigrants are successful in assimilating into this country the dreams that they thought were all possible. I mean, the dreams that my father, you know, had for his family when he came to America, and my mother and my grandparents were realized. You know, fortunately, you know, we were all taught that we should work hard and assimilate, and maybe in some cases, you could be argued that we over-assimilated because Spanish was spoken very little in our home. It seemed to be spoken only when our parents wanted to talk to themselves and keep things away from us. So we had a limited understanding of the language. But my dad he just so wanted us to have a fair shot to be successful that he felt that, you know, it was critical for us to learn the language and to assimilate into the American culture, and we did so. And arguably, to some degree, we lost some of the, you know, Hispanic background culture, in that process. Some of that is real, but yet when you look at, how our family and other families assimilated and the dreams that we've been able to realize, there's going to be some exchange in that. And everybody individually, I think, has to make that decision and, make that choice themselves and, play it out and see what happens. But at least at the start, Bruce, I think the opportunity here is to find a win-win proposition for immigrants, for this country, that works for the best interest of all and not a party.
I don't think it's all that tough to find the win-win combination of things. It really isn't. The immigrants who have come over here, your family and all the others, for almost all of them have a long-term perspective on life. Mm-hmm. They're looking for the long-term improvement in their life, and they behave accordingly. Most American, well, maybe not most, maybe that's unfair, but too many Americans have a short-term perspective, maybe 2 weeks long. Politicians have 2-year perspective to the next election.
Exactly.
Immigration is a long-term situation. We've got to look at it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's there's no doubt that it's been rather myopic, and for this government, for God only knows what. I mean, it sounds so cheap and diabolical to say, well, it's only because of the interest of, a Democratic vote that we've allowed the gates to be stormed here and have promoted, all the more the dysfunction of our immigration policies. But, what is it going to take when, enough is enough and we start to, take charge of this and do something that, as you say, Bruce, is win-win. And I mean for the immigrant as well as this country, and to where we do not violate our national security principles, that immigrants can come here and have a fair shot at the golden ticket and the American dream.
It's going to take leadership. It's going to take leadership in the executive and in the legislative branch of our government, and we're sorely lacking that. It's a very depressing thing to look at for me, because until our president says, okay, here is the program we need, instead of just saying the Republicans in Congress are blocking immigration, or vice versa, if you're the Republicans saying that the Senate won't pass anything we pass, until we get leadership, cooperative leadership, who can come together and agree, this is what we need to solve for the best interests of the country, we won't come up with that program.
Yeah, I mean, here, last time I checked, we're 17, looking at $18 trillion in debt. I mean, and immigration and the problems that we have here. I mean, where are we going to get the money? How are we going to manage this? Border Patrol agents are not doing their jobs. They're managing this influx and processing of these illegal immigrants right now. We got Border Patrol. We had a Border Patrol agent delivering a baby the other day. This is totally, totally insane.
The president could issue an executive order. He's certainly willing to do that. That would go around the law. He does that all the time. That would cover 2 or 3 significant points that would resolve this immediate problem, I believe. Mm-hmm. That still leaves the real basic problem of our immigration policy to be dealt with. and I would hope that we can elect people who will really get into the immigration thing and fix it. It's tough. It's a hard process.
Well, what I'm afraid of, Bruce, and I hate to use that word, but seriously, what I'm afraid of right now is that this administration has put so many moving parts into motion here, where it's just one incompetent thing after another, that we're going to try to get this country back on track while everything is dysfunctional. It's almost like we almost need to have some sort of you know, bankruptcy process or time out on the government to say, okay, everything stops right now. We're gonna keep the basics rolling, but we need to get a handle on this dysfunction and take care of these things in unlike the Beltway manner that seems to be years to handle some of these solutions, but do something more of an executive nature that, you know, makes this manageable. Is that possible?
It's possible, but of course, but one has to say, is it very likely to happen? And I think that we just have to keep at it because we're not going to do it with the current administration. There's nothing. I mean, you defined it very well, and there's nothing that we're going to do as a country with the current administration, but we have to do everything we can to kind of hold it together until we can get people in there who will manage it better.
Well, like you say, there's lots of pain ahead in order to get through this process, and there is going to be a high demand for quality leadership to get us through and to get us back on track. Bruce Thatcher, author of the book Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work.